For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, we're in Yeshayahu chapter 40. And we're beginning one of the more famous series of prophecies, which we're actually in the middle of. These are the prophecies of comfort. We had the 3 weeks, which are the 3 weeks of doom and gloom of the destruction. Mm-hmm. And then there's 7 weeks of comfort, where Hashem speaks to the Jewish people. We've talked before about this, just because we live in a Christian world. They tend to quote from the 3 weeks of doom and gloom and say, oh, you see, he's rejected. But they don't tell you that there's 7 prophecies about how Hashem loves the Jewish people and he'll never forget them, and he's Hashem's special people forever and ever, and Hashem will console them personally. And they, you know, that's the problem with selective quoting and the fact that people don't always learn all the prophets. And so over here we find out that it is true that we've faced challenges throughout history. And we certainly know about that. In other words, when you learn about the Holocaust, and you learn about the pogroms, and you learn about the Spanish expulsion, but you also need to know that Hashem promises us that it'll be double comfort. In other words, for the punishments and the suffering we've undergone, that there will be followed by double that amount of love and caring and bringing back. And that there's a purpose to it. In other words, that we, just like metals, only get purified when they would put them through fire and things that weren't important would melt away. We believe that our being tested and our going through challenges throughout history helps improve us, helps us. And because we've hit a low, then we can bounce back and get even closer to Hashem. And so, to some extent, that's the theme of the Parshas of Nechama, of comfort. The word comfort is not a great translation. We don't have, I'm not sure if we have a great word in English for that, for this word to comfort. It comes from the, sometimes that if a person is missing something or they fill a void, so the word comfort means almost to bring back or to have come to where that void is no longer there. In other words, a person is mourning and then they feel a loss, they feel like they can't continue, and then they're comforted means that they find a way to deal with their loss, and they find a way to continue. They find a way to overcome. But it's really a bigger subject. What the concept of comfort is. When we go to comfort a mourner, the main comfort is just to be there. We don't. There's no special. You just have to. That by sharing, by being there and showing that a person cares, so that helps a person. A person feels like when they're mourning that they can't go on, that such an important part of their life is missing, and then when they see that other people care about them, so they get the strength to continue. That's that word to hinochem, like to be menachem, to comfort. So over here, Hashem knows the Jewish people has suffered, has experienced a loss. And Hashem, and if we were to look at all of our losses, it would be very difficult to continue. We know what we've been through. So Hashem will put a double effort into comforting us. It's not just a singular comfort, it's a double comfort. Nachamu, nachamu. Now, one of the main comforts is that we feel rejected, that Hashem no longer cares about us. So what does it say? Ami, my people. It's not, you haven't been rejected, you haven't been thrown away. Hashem will comfort you because you are my people. The comfort begins with knowing that, not that chas v'shalom, that Hashem is angry with us and Hashem doesn't care about us. No, it's that Hashem is comforting us, who are us, his people, Ami, my people. And who will say that? Elokechem, your God. Hashem never for a moment stopped caring about the Jewish people and stopped loving the Jewish people. And so therefore, when it comes the time for comfort, there'll be this double level of comfort. Verse 2. Now, part of the process of comfort, there is a conversation. There, a person has to speak. But a person has to speak to the heart. It's an interesting expression, verse 2. That's like, I told you we're going to talk about the heart. Dabar alev Yerushalayim, speak to the heart of Yerushalayim. That's the challenge when people comfort the mourners. It's interesting, they have Jewish papers now, that, you know, religious papers. That, and they, what's nice about them is that you see the full gamut of Jewish life in these papers. And so people write in letters, and they talk about how when they experienced mourning, they found people that were insensitive, who said the wrong things. And you look at it, and it's funny, but unfortunately, we've sometimes been in places where somebody says something like that, or and the part of the challenge is that if the people that come, they mean well, but they don't know how to speak to the person's heart. We have a rule, it's better to say nothing than to say, you know, we sit there quiet, but maybe the person doesn't even want to talk. You know, that's but it's no question that there has to be a sensitivity when it comes to comforting. So you see over here, Hashem says comfort, but then he says speak to the heart. You got to be very careful to know how to speak to the what the person needs to hear. And the one he's comforting is the Yerushalayim, the capital of Yerushalayim, the city that was destroyed. Speak to the heart of Yerushalayim. And Zikiro Laha, and pay attention to her, call her Ki Mola Tzava. Sometimes what a person is worried about is that they're not finished with the punishment. They feel like a person experiences a trouble. Who knows, you know, maybe who knows who's next, or who knows what... some people say when the mourner sits on the ground, it's like they feel like they themselves are in the grave. You know, they're next to the ground. That's the part of their fear is that Hashem struck down someone who was close to them. Who knows? Maybe the angel of death isn't finished. It's visiting their family. It's visiting their community. So Hashem says, no more punishment. Ki malat tzava. Hashem is full. Hashem is finished. So whatever needed to be done is done. Why is that? Ki nirtza avona, because the sin has been expiated. The sin has been... Now, the word nirtza is very interesting. That's the word of the last part of the Haggadah, where we celebrate with, after all the work we did getting ready for Pesach and all the four cups of wine, Hallel nirtza, the nirtza is the very last... It says that it becomes desirable. In other words, Hashem looks at our... At the Seder, it is that Hashem looks at all those things that we've done and looks at who we are and says, Nirtza, Ritzei, I desire you. What you've done is really great. That's where Hashem looks to us after the Seder and says, Yashika, good job. You're Ritzei. I really like, you know, what you've done. You've made yourself according to my will. You've made yourself desirable. So this is a funny expression then. What does it mean your sin now is desirable? Ki nirtza, your sin is rutza, is like it's good. So some people, there's the idea that when a person sins, they've made mistakes, but when they go to fix the mistakes, they get an inertia. It's almost like a person who's a jumper and he wants to jump. What he does is he walks back and he jumps, and he gets a running start. And by getting a running start, that carries him over. Mm-hmm. When a person sins, and they hit rock bottom, and they feel distance from Hashem, and then they come back, they're traveling at a fast pace. And they're able to keep that going, that movement towards Hashem. And so there's an idea that a Baal Tshuva, a person that sinned and fixes the sin, can be more righteous than a person that never sinned. So again, it still sounds a little funny, but when you think about it, Hashem judges us for who we are. Sometimes when a person makes a mistake and he fixes it, he's a stronger person today than the person that never made the mistake, because he has stronger convictions. He knows what he did was wrong, and he knows why it was wrong, and he feels fortunate that Hashem accepts him now, even in spite of his mistake, and he's sure that he's not going to do that again. And he's passionate about it. And so the person that's standing in front of us is not a bad person. He's a better person than the one that was here before. The Christians, they have a funny idea, which is that born again, you know, you just say you're sorry. And why? Where do they get that from? Because it says, well, Hashem loves, you know, the people that have sinned and come back. And this, but it's not because what a person who's a sinner is good, and that you can just say, you know, I sinned and I'm accepted. We don't. They got something from the scripture, but they didn't get. They got like half an idea, and they missed the most important part. In other words, the idea is that when a person sins and they want to come back, that Hashem allows them the power of teshuvah. He allows them to repent, to come back. It's not that every bloody person that needs to be executed, you have to not let them kill them. Why? Because you can't kill any. No, a person is evil. He has to be, you know, we have to save the world from evil. But if a person sins and they become a different person, it means that their convictions change. Who they are changes. And the type of person standing in front of us now would never do that thing again. So that person is a good person now, the one who's in front of us. And so that's the idea of nirtza avona. Their sin has actually made them a better person today. And again, there are people that have made mistakes, and because they made the mistake, right now they're much stronger in that area. There are people that say that sometimes a person has a driving mistake, and they have to take a course to become a better driver. So because they made a mistake once, or because they learned from their mistake, today they're a very good driver, because they know exactly what to avoid, because they first-hand experience, right? Or many, many, many areas like this. When a person has done something, let's say, and they hurt themselves, now they know how to do it better. So that's the idea that because we've sinned, we are stronger people today. And we've got that momentum going, that we're coming back to Hashem, and we've got conviction, because we know sometimes people that have never sinned, they wonder if maybe sinning is fun. Yeah, maybe it's appealing. It looks good, but maybe they're not doing it. But somebody that sinned and knows what it feels like, and knows that it didn't buy them any great enjoyment, and how bad they felt and where they were from that sin, so today they can be a much stronger person. That's one of the ideas of nirtza avona. There's also an idea that a sin is like creates a payback. In other words, Hashem is kind to us, and we abuse that kindness, and He punished us. We did our time. We've done our time. In other words, our sin has been, we paid our, once a person has done their time, it's interesting, the verse that talks about whipping a person, you got to be pretty bad to deserve a flogging. They used to have that punishment. It used to, it could be, it's not a bad idea, but they didn't have big prison. You know, if somebody sinned, that, you know, they gave him, you know, lash first, day he'd have to go to a doctor to make sure that he could take the lashes. They wouldn't lash a person in a way that would permanently harm him. And if the doctor said he could take the lashes, they would give him the lashes. And the verse says, it calls them, it says, when your brother has been lashed. So the Gemara says that once a person has done his time, he's your brother. He has to, he's paid his obligation. It's true, he did whatever he did. He sinned. But now he paid his dues. So now he's ready to come back. And so, to Hashem, ki nirtza avona means we paid our dues. It's enough. Ki locha miyad Hashem hiflein b'chol chatesa. And we were punished for our sins double. So there's a question, why do we deserve a double punishment, but we got a double comfort? We certainly got a... now, sometimes the way we're explaining this is that a person, once they sinned, they still need to come back. They can't keep on sinning. So we actually see that over here. What we're going to say is that Hashem calls us back. That after we've sinned and after we've strayed, So Hashem now is going to make it easy for us to come back. That's the next few verses here. It's not just something I'm saying. It's actually what the prophet is saying.
Mm-hmm.
That Hashem looks to reach the sinner. But again, there's nothing that says that a person gets an automatic pardon or anything. A person has to come back. They have to become that different person. Kol Korah B'Midbar. There's a voice going out into the desert, or from the desert. Sometimes it means that we live in a world where there's a lot of noise, and you people feel like Hashem's, you can't even hear Hashem. There's so much other things tuning it out. So many commercials, so many different kinds of things that are out there, people that compete with the voice of Hashem. But in the desert, where it's an empty, barren place, a person can hear the voice of Hashem. And what does Hashem say? Hashem says that a person has strayed and they want to come back. The problem is that when a person strays far away, how do you get back? You've gone a far distance. So there's a very interesting concept, and this concept is for this time of the year. It's a Rosh Hashanah concept, that if a person wants to come back, Hashem makes it easy for him. All we have to do is show Hashem that we sincerely want to change something, and then Hashem, he pulls us through. So the voice goes out in the desert, and it says the following: Panu derech Hashem. It says, clear the way towards Hashem. We when a person sins, they go away from Hashem, and now the voice comes out and says, there's a path towards Hashem. Yashu, straightforward by Rava Mesila Leilokenu. Let's make a path to Hashem. Now, sometimes, like when a person has someone who they fought with over the years and they want to make up, they have to deal with, they have so much history between the two. How do they overcome all the things? They have a lot of explaining to do, all of the bad feelings over all the different things that happened. And so they have mountains to climb. Like, how are they going to get over all the things that have come between them? So too with us and Hashem, we have these big mountains, these things that are in the way. So what does Hashem say? He says, no problem. I can fix that. Kol Geyinasi. If there's sometimes you have a valley in between. It's very hard to cross a valley if you have to try crossing the Grand Canyon or something like that. Hashem says, no problem. I'll pick it up. I'll lower it. If there's a mountain, if you have to go too high, like if you have to climb a mountain to come back, Hashem says, I'm going to flatten it. Yashpilu. In other words, you won't have to go down too far. You won't have to come up too high. Hashem's going to give us like a straight, easy path. All we have to do is, you know, we show the interest, and Hashem will make it easy. V'ha'ekev l'mishur. And something that was crooked will become straight. V'ha'rechosim l'vikah. And in other words, Hashem will make it easy for us to come back to Him. He'll make it a straight path. It won't be as hard as we think. We won't have to deal with, we assume that there'll be all these mountains and all these difficulties to overcome. Hashem says, no, it'll be doable. Verse 5. V'nigla kvod Hashem. And the honor of Hashem will be revealed. V'ro kolboser yachtov. And at that time, it won't be just to the Jewish people, but it will be to all basar, all flesh. And what will they know? Kipi Hashem diber, that it's from the mouth of Hashem. This is not from the mouth of a prophet, it's not from an intermediate, it's going to come straight from Hashem. What's interesting also is that sometimes Hashem has messengers, like Hashem's more intense presence. Sometimes we hear from an angel or we get a messenger, but Hashem is saying that He's going to comfort us Himself. In other words, this is a direct, Hashem Himself will comfort us, the Jewish people. Verse 6. Kol Amar Korah. A voice will come out and say, call out. Amar Ma Ekra. And what will it say? Now, part of the voice will be that people will be searching for Hashem. So when people search for Hashem, there's always other people that try to monopolize that search. There's always phony religions and phony prophecies, and there's always different opinions about how to do it. So, kol habasar chatzir, the path that the flesh will say to holiness, that's like grass. The kol chas, it's like weeds, really, ketzitz hatzada, like things in the field. All of the things that mankind said were the solutions to the problems, and all of the those things, verse 7, Yavish Chatzir, they're going to dry out. Navotzitz, and the blossoms will wilt. In other words, all of the other religions, the other philosophies, all the false views about how things were at the time, they looked like they were flowers. You know, communism looked wonderful when it started. Jews were very tempted by it. You know, we're responsible for one another, we'll share, we'll take care of the poor, we'll take care of the needy, everybody will be equal. It sounded kind of nice, you know, no more anti-Semitism. It really was like a beautiful flower, but that flower wilted very quickly in Siberia. Yeah, it didn't last very long. But there are many philosophies that also, you know, sound very nice. If you listen to what they say, they put a nice spin on it, you know, about how... But it's like a flower that, in the wrong season, it wilts. These things are all temporary flowers or temporary grass. Ki ruach Hashemna, but the spirit of Hashem, when it comes to blow, achen chatzir ha'am. What you hear from the people, that's going to dry out. That's just false prophecy. Yavish chatzir navotzitz. The grass and the flower will dry. Dvar Elokeinu. But the word of Hashem, Yakum Olam, that'll be around forever. That's not going anywhere. So, you know, there are a lot of popular sayings, a lot of things. People come and they say, you know, Tikkun Olam, and they say this, and they say that, and they, you know, whatever it is, it all sounds very nice. It's a nice flower, but it's something that people have come up with, and it's popular at a certain time, and then it'll disappear. But what will last is Dvar Elokeinu, the words of our God. You know, the words of Hashem, Yakum La'olam, not only is it going to stay around, but it'll be fulfilled. All of the words of Hashem will be fulfilled. Verse 9, Al Har Gavoa Oli, go up to a high mountain, Lach Mevaser Sion, they'll be like the Zion at Yerushalayim is surrounded with mountaintops. And so it talks about ascending the mountain, going up, the idea of making aliyah, going up. Harima b'koya kole, lift up your voice. Mevazer shushalayim. In the old days, they had people would announce that they would come with good news. You know, we won the battle. We didn't win the we won the war. The good news. They'd be like an announcer. It'd be like the postman would deliver a message. They would have a runner who would be the mevaser. He was the announcer. He would come. And typically, they didn't announce bad news. You didn't need to announce that. But when there was good news, you always shared the good news. So what it's saying is we're waiting for the broadcast. We're waiting for the announcement. Imagine when you turn on the radio and they come to the news at the top of the hour and it says Mashiach is here. You know that it's the Jews are coming from are coming back and the we're being the word of Hashem. So that's what we're waiting for up high. The now it'll come from the satellite dishes, right? Up high, it'll be announcing to Zion, Mavaseres Yerushalayim. They named a city, I think there's a neighborhood, Mafaser Sion, in a lot of the names of cities in Yerushalayim are taken from these nice prophecies. Because the original Jews that came back to Israel, they wanted the prophecies, they saw the beginning of the prophecies, so they named them Mafaser Sion. I wonder what they call it for short, you know, like today we have nicknames for, you know, the Big Apple, I don't know what they call it, but he mentions the announcement for Yerushalayim. Harimi, lift up. Don't be afraid. Amri la'ari Yehuda. And tell the other cities of Yehuda, Hinei Elokeichem, here's your God. And you almost feel like, you know, the people, the Jews themselves need to hear that. They don't even know, like, you know, they hear, Hashem says, here, I'm here. Verse 10, Hinei Hashem b'chozek yavo. And Hashem's going to come with strength. Uzroya mishlo, and with his arm, his right arm, Hineskaru ito polosa lefanov, and there'll be a time of reward and a person with their deeds. And now he paints a picture. Karoya edro yira, and it'll be like a shepherd with his flock. Somehow, when the flock goes out to eat, like the shepherd, like leads the flock and comes with them, and he picks them up. You know, sometimes the sheep get stuck. And the shepherd has to pick up the sheep, right? It's kind of that Yikabit toy. And he carries it in his bosom. He's holding the flock. The Hashem, when he comes to bring us back, will have to pick us up, you know, like the little sheep that's what Hashem will lead us back. 12. Mi madad bishalo. Hashem, who measures the waters, mayim v'shamayim bezeres tichon. the whole world seems to be a very big place. Some people wonder, how is Hashem going to do it all? But in Hashem's measures, it's a pretty small world. In other words, Hashem can easily, he's bigger than this world. The earth is kind of like underneath him. The Kol Shosh Afer V'Shokla Pelos Harim L'Gvos Maznayim. He picks up the hills, the mountains. This is not a big deal for Hashem. In other words, this is not, you know, what's going to happen in the world is easy stuff for Hashem. Mi Tiken Esruach Hashem V'Ish Atzosiyedim. Who will lead the spirit of Hashem and who will give his advice? Es Mi Noat V'Yeh. Who will take counsel and understand it? V'Yamdeinu Ba'orach Mishpat, and will follow the ways of justice. V'Yamdeinu Das, and bring real wisdom. V'Derek Tfunas. There's a book by that name, by the way, The Path of Understanding. It's a good name for a book, like how to figure things out. The word Tavuna means like understanding, from the word Bina. So Derek Tfunas is like how to figure things out. Hashem is going to give us that wisdom. We got a lot of questions. We got a lot of learning to do, and that's all going to happen at this time. 15. Hein goyim kamar. Let's see, Hein goyim kamar midli. Now, what about all the nations? What about all the Gentiles? They're not going to let this happen. What about all the Arabs? They're a drop in the bucket. I wonder if that's where this expression comes. That's what it says. A drop in the bucket. Ukashakug maznaim, and they, you know, on the balance scale, they're like dust. Hey, meem kadak yital. It's not, they're, you know, all the billions of Chinese or whatever's out there, they don't count for much. 16. Lanon ain died ba'er. Then the Lebanon, which is where they had all the trees and all the fuel, there's not enough, there won't be enough. What it's saying is that when the Mashiach comes, everybody's going to want to bring offerings and everybody's going to want to serve Hashem. There won't be enough wood left to bring the offerings, and there won't be enough animals to bring them. In other words, all of a sudden there'll be a shortage. It'll be people will be clamoring to come near Hashem. You won't be able to get the wood and there won't be enough fuel or enough animals to come near. There'll be a rush on serving Hashem. 17. Kolagoyim ka'in negdo, and there'll be some nations that will want to fight against Hashem. They are nothing. Umeefes, they're like nothing, like zero. Of a toe next to him, and they strayed from him. 18. Now these nations, they have their own gods, and they compare gods. El mita damayin. Who are they going to compare Hashem to? The God. It grates on me. So we live in America where they like to say all religions are the same and all, and they're not. You know, there's a big difference there between even if you're not a believing person. Let's say you don't know which religion is true. That doesn't give you a right. Oh, they all say the same thing. They're all true. They're all, you know, in people's minds, it'd be nice if it's scary if one is true and the others are not. So to say that they're all the same, that kind of works for them. But it's not a very intellectual way to say, why would, there's one truth and then everything else is false. Why would it be that they're all false? You know, they're all false? What, you know, is it? But in America, it's very popular to say that today. Oh, they're, you know, we're multicultural. All religions are the same. We all believe the same thing. That's why they're, you know, that's why the Muslims and Christians have been killing each other for, you know, and the Christians and the Baptists, and they're not all the same. They say different things, and they represent strange gods and strange ideas. Even the idea that a person's a murderer could all of a sudden be okay. You got to fix things. You can't. And there's certain things that can't be fixed, you know. And so it's somebody who's he's a Christian, he's forgiving. That's an awful thing. You're not supposed to be forgiving. If a person is wicked and bad, you don't just let him go and harm people. It's such a wrong testimony. Whereas where real Judaism says that there is teshuva, but a person has to change. They have to become a different person. And until you're sure of that, you know, it's not there. 19. Now, who were these other religions? What were they saying? So in that time, they were false gods, but in our time, there's also false gods, but they were made of sticks and stones. And he describes them over here. 19. Pestle, Nesse, Cherish, Vesorah. They made these nice statues in gold and silver, with kesef, valuable things. 20. Hamasukin truma eight. Some were wood, lo yirkov, the wood and rot. Yifkakerish chacham yivakish lo. They were trying to come up with better and better man-made materials, as if they could form their religion. What happens is that they wanted a guarantee. Like sometimes they'd make a god, and the god would break. So you needed to. They were always trying to come up with a better god, like a longer-lasting god that would be something that have a guarantee that would last a long time. It's funny to us how the people who made the idols were thinking. Verse 21, Halo Teda, Halo Tishma, don't you know? Haven't you heard? Halo Hugin, why don't you pay attention? Hamerosh, this was known from the beginning. You know, they're going to say, you know, that this, they're going to think this is some new religion. This has only been around for since the beginning of creation. Halo Havinasim, when the world was founded, we were here. The truth was available to everybody. Now this, 22 is fascinating. The reason why it's fascinating is, you can go and look at they have a copy of the Scroll of Yeshaya in the Israel Museum that's at least 2,000 years old. It says here that the world is round. And the Christians, some of them haven't figured that out yet, right? It says, Hayoshev Alchuz, it says the Almighty sits on the circle of the world. Sits Hayoshev Alchug Haaretz, that the world is, you know what a chug is? A chug is a circle. It's a ball, like the word chug in Hebrew is a circle. But the holiday is a circle also. That's why the word chag. It's because it comes around. It's a day. It's not a one time. A holiday is not a one time deal. It's something that comes around. The holidays are coming around again. Yes, we've been there before. That's right. They sure are. That's right. But it's a circle. That's why we call it a chag. And in modern Hebrew also, the word chug is a circle or a game where people sit in a circle. It's a chug. So this is in Yeshaya, verse 22. It's been sitting there for 2,000 years. You would have saved the Christians a lot of trouble if they, you know, Columbus too, if he had known that the world was a circle. It just says it right here. Yoshev al chug. It describes the Almighty sitting on the world. It's a globe. And its inhabitants, and he describes like looking down from the heavens that the people look like grasshoppers. They look like little ants or little, I don't know what the significance of the grasshoppers are, but I think it means that people, they're small-minded. They're like ants. I know the Kedak Shemayim, compared to the now, you know, people come up, they want to make their own religions compared to the wisdom of Hashem, who's, you know, we're in this little round world where we have all these little peoples and little religions, and here's Hashem, you know, on top of the seven heavens, who's the Almighty, and it's comical. He says that Hashem, like, he kind of shows, like, when he moves the clouds, it's like a curtain. He like the curtain moves, like it. He has complete control of nature. Ka'ol l'shavas. I think there's a, tonight they say there's going to be a meteor shower that you can watch. I would have said like ants, though. I'm not sure what is it about grasshoppers. Like you know, they fascinate people. Or what do you see in grass? All I know about grasshoppers are that they jump, and I don't know what else that they, you know, what else is unique about them. Or are there dozens of grasshoppers? Like I don't know that, but yeah, I also thought about that with the spies use that. Now, what about all the famous people? Verse 23, the princes and the royals, and Hanosin Rogzim La'ayin. You know, these people, the czars, and the. It wasn't that long ago that people thought a lot of the royalty and the dictators, and the. 100 years ago, coming into this century, they had, you know, the Romanovs were czars for hundreds of years, and then you had the Habsburgs, and you had the. Now already we laugh at it, you know, the. Even the, you know, the English monarchy, the royal, you know, but. At one time, we thought about all these famous people, these great leaders. They were like gods. Even the Japanese used to consider the emperor like a god or whatever. What will happen before that's one of the things that gives us faith that we're close to the messianic times, is that nobody believes that these leaders are gods anymore. There are very few of them get away with it in modern times. But it wasn't that long ago. Like I said, 100 years ago, it seems like a vast majority of nations were governed by people who thought they were like God, who were divine right, who had certain... but Hashem will make these people la'ayin. Yeah, who cares about the royals, you know, whatever. Shoftaros kato, and what about all their laws and their judgments? Nothing, nothing, there's nothing there. 24. Af bal nita, af bal zroya, af bal shorish b'orot gizim. It's as if they weren't planted and they didn't grow and they didn't take root. All of these things will be blown away. V'gam nashu v'hem v'yavoshu. It's usara kekashtesiyem. In other words, these leaders and these UN and all, you know, people, you know, the world courts and all of these wonderful new laws and judgments, people spent so much time and, you know, setting these things up. Hashem is just going to blow them away. They're like dried up and blown away. Verse 25, and so people who invested in these other religions and these other ideals, all of a sudden they'll come to a time when they'll see that their ideals and their religions don't stand up. So then, at that time, what will they say? The Elmite Dalmanu. Now what are they going to do? There's going to be the world all of a sudden will see the things that they believed in don't stand. The leaders that they believed in don't stand. Vashava Yomer Kadosh. So Hashem says at that point people will be open to figuring out that Hashem is the one in charge. And 26, but people will need to open their eyes. Verse 26, Su'u Morim Einechem, which by the way is the letters for the Shema, Shin Mem Ayin. In fact, in other words, when you say Shema, you accept the yoke of Hashem. In a certain way, it means that we hit a moment of truth where we recognize our Maker. The whole day long, we get busy, we're working, we're running around. We say Shema, we're lifting up our eyes and saying, yeah, boss, you're here. I remembered you. But it says, like, lift up on high your eyes. Like, you know, open your eyes. Ura'u and see, mi bar eila, who created all this world? You know, what's the purpose in all this? Hamotzi ben Misfar, Hashem, like, you know, the stars, the whole world. Hashem just is in complete control of them. The Kulim B'Shem. And Hashem, each one has a purpose. Everything that Hashem made in the world has a purpose. Mevrov Onin Ve'amid Koyach. From Hashem's great strength and mighty power. Ish Lo Neder. There's nobody missing. Every person has a role to play. And we will stop here. I believe in Shabbos Nachamu that this is actually the last word in the Haftorah, this verse here, about the about the lifting up of your eyes. So we'll stop on verse 26.
Okay.
You know what? I'm sorry. There's too little not to finish. It is the end of Shabbat, but we'll finish. We may come back to start again, you know, the few verses. Lama tamar yachas daba Yisrael. Why should even Jews say, Nister Darkei Me Hashem, that Hashem doesn't see everything. Umelekai Mishpat Yav, Hashem doesn't notice. Even his people somehow think that something can be hidden from him. Hallo Yadati, 28. Don't you know? Im lo shamata. Haven't you heard? Elokei Olam Hashem. Hashem is the creator of the world. Baruch Hatzos Ha'aretz. He created the different corners of the world. Lo Yaf, he doesn't get tired. You can't hide from him. Hallo Yagia. He's not exhausted. Ein Cheker, and there's no end, Litunoso, to his wisdom. Now, we're tired. It's the end of history. Hashem says, Nosing Le'yav Koyach. He gives to the weak strength. And we believe that you can get strength. In other words, that's what we say, Yasha Koyach, like you should be strengthened. Le'ein Onim Atma Yirba. Hashem will give us the strength. 30. Now, strength is a funny thing. We expect young people to be strong and the old people to be tired and weak. Hashem gives people strength. The world can be built by Yalfu Narim, and sometimes it's the young people that are tired and lazy. V'yigio b'churim kishu, you'd think the young people they're out having a good time, and it's the old people keep the world going. I don't know old people, but the strength is a funny commodity. You have to have a Hashem is in charge of it. Now, what happens when you're tired? Though verse 31, this is a famous verse. The kaveh Hashem, those that hope to Hashem, they'll get new strength. In other words, let's say you're tired, you're weary, you've used up all your old strengths. Those that hope to Hashem, they'll get a new batch. Yikaveh Hashem, those that hope to Hashem, yachlifu koyach. And they'll get a new batch of strength. They're still, they're old, they move slowly. Hashem says, no, Yalo Avikanish, they'll be as quick as an eagle. Yerutza, they'll run. Velo Yiga. And they won't get tired. Yelcho velo Yafu, they'll be up to the task. And so, even though we feel tired, exhausted, how are we going to do all the big things that need to be done? Those that hope to Hashem will get the strength. The strength will come to them. Mirtz Hashem soon.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.